Wayone, this is Political QRM. We're going to have a nicer time. Why don't you come in and join us?
How are you today? This is Anne Marie and my friend Lou, the crotchety old, okay, can't use the language, up in Maine, and we're here again for another enlightened hour of QRM. So what's going on? What do you have on the burner?
I have nothing, but thanks for the fact that somebody actually finally put my bio up.
Yeah,
notice I've been saving that till our new tape is rolling.
Yes, I know. I know. Thank you.
Thought I've been on the phone for an hour. I saved it.
Yeah, we had a little, yeah. And it looks great, doesn't it? It sounds good.
It looks great, but let me advise the listeners that because of course yours comes first, it's your place. And that's fine, you know.
All right, you know darn well you're going to say but or however, and you know.
No, however, here's the.
Okay, here we go. Everything before that word is.
No, when they scroll down where my picture is, it's best to view it by looking in a mirror backwards.
And why is that?
So they don't turn into a stone or something like Jason and the Argonauts or whatever. That was before I got my hair cut.
That's true. All right. Well, then we'll have to take another one and we'll replace it.
I felt like a Medusa here, you know? You know, not a Medusa said bots. You know,
I could always put the other picture up you sent.
Oh, I'd love that one.
Unfortunately, it's not you, but...
Yeah, right.
But it looks Debbie, enough that I think it could pass.
But it's Debbie said, when was that taken?
I know, it looks
This is my
like
wife! When was that taken? You don't own a 9mm, do you? I said, no, I don't. No, wait, now,
okay.
wait.
For those
you got to love her. You got to love her for the fact that she could spot in this guy's hand, Billy Connolly's hand, mm-hmm.
Boondock Saints, yeah.
Saints, the fact that there were two pistols in his hand, one was a 1911 and the other was a 9. Take it or leave it, that my wife could spot that at a distance.
Well, hey, good. She's good. You've trained her well.
I have indeed.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
What do I have on the agenda?
Yeah, what do you have?
Richard Lugar can vote in the Senate, but not in Indiana.
Indiana, do you believe that? I can't believe that. He hasn't owned a house there in what? How many years?
Doesn't matter.
17 years?
The Indiana State Constitution, the law of the land in the state of Indiana, says no person shall relinquish their resident voting privileges if they are on or about the business of the state or the United States. That's what it says. That is the letter of the law. And the two Democrats on the election board said, oh, well, no, you don't live here. It says I don't lose my resident status. Oh, well, no, you live in D.C. lives in McLean. You don't live here. And the Republicans said, well, wait, the letter of the law is that he doesn't lose his residency. Well, it doesn't matter. He doesn't live here. Mm-hmm. But he's a senator from here.
I know.
He represents us down there. He couldn't afford to have two homes or have one sit here unused, or you know, he didn't want to be away from his family, so he moved down there. He's on the business of the state of Indiana in the United States Senate.
And they're saying,
no. Oh, so but you're not legally allowed to vote. Yeah. Is this agenda driven, do you think?
Oh, no, not at all.
No, it couldn't possibly be. It has to just be a question of, you know, they know the law better than the way
it's written. Oh, yeah, Democrats always do, right? Yeah, when they're not abusing it, when they're not trying to tear it down, and when they're not trying to change it without the proper channels, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, consent of the people.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
God,
did I think that out loud, that constitutional phrase there, consent of the governed?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. So basically what they're saying is that he... So this makes no sense, though. So that means he cannot get any funds to take back to Indiana or anything like this, then. Right?
Yeah, well, there should be an instantaneous recall of him.
Yeah.
How could he possibly be representing the state of Indiana if he's not a resident of Indiana?
That's right. And then he can't vote. And then
it's not even like he carpetbagged it like, oh, I don't know, Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, anybody like that.
She didn't do that, did she?
Oh, whoa, what did I say she did? Did I accuse her of something of questionable ethical
Okay, ethics and a Democrat.
All right. Yeah. Barring the dichotomy, did I say something that wasn't true?
Yeah. No.
Oh, well, then we're in good shape.
You're in good shape. Yeah.
He can't obviously fulfill the duties of his office as they are described. And you know, why aren't they recalling him for somebody? You know, but maybe that's the plan, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Maybe they said, well, he can't vote here, so why is he our senator? Well, we just happen to have this Democrat who does live here,
mm-hmm.
and we can send her down or him down. I don't know that much about. Matter of fact, I really don't know that much about the state of Indiana. I passed through it a few times. I ate there once at a diner. It was good.
Yeah. Okay.
But other than that, and I don't know enough about Indiana to say. I know my brother, Bill, mm-hmm. Was there for 4 years, of course, at Notre Dame.
Oh.
That was me. He was there for 4 years for Notre Dame, and mm-hmm. Heck, I didn't even go and stay with him for a week or anything while he was out there. I just passed through it a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you stop and think about the way some of this stuff gets, it's the selective applicability of laws, whether they pertain to the Constitution of the state, the Constitution of the United States. You know, the only constitution or mandate, let's not call it constitution, the only kind of script they're willing to follow, there's two, and none of them are constitutions.
Mm-hmm.
One is the manifesto of the Democratic Party of the United States.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one is anything the United Nations says.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of the UN, the NAACP is running to them crying like little babies.
Oh, yes, they are.
They want the voter ID case to be taken up by the UN. And it's like, what the hell do they have to do with our voting?
I was going to say, you know, they can take it up all they want. I don't give a damn what they say. It's none of their business.
It's none of their business. They have no jurisdiction.
They can sit and read it if they want. They can even make the margin notes, highlight the little parts they like with a little yellow highlighter. And and as far as I'm concerned, they can take it right down to the restroom and hang it on the wall next to the Sears catalog.
Yep.
Because it's none of their business.
No, it's not. But you see, they think that it is. And so for some reason, the NAACP wants them in on this. Now, the thing is, one, of course, they have no. But then let's expand this a bit. NAACP, the guy's a Democrat. Of course, he's probably...
The NAALCP?
NAALCP? Liberal?
Yeah, because you can't, I mean...
Oh, no, you got forbid.
They don't want West, they don't want Seoul, they don't, you know.
Oh, God, no. You see, those are their, you know... No, they aren't... To them, they're not even black, so...
They don't even want Cosby.
No, because he actually said something about education that made sense. You know, but the thing is that this just falls in line with the Democrats' global initiative of, you know, a global government, because that's what the UN is very quickly becoming. And I'll be honest with you, I do not want my rights as a voter in the hands of some third world despot from, you know... I've had it with these people. We got to get the UN out of here.
No, not for nothing. I haven't, because we have discussed the UN in the past.
Yes, we have.
I have no idea. I haven't read the UN charter in. I don't think I've ever read it. I don't think I've ever cared enough. Is there something in their charter that says that all of these people who serve as Secretary General have to be from the Third World, or is it just an accident of happenstance?
I think it's just an accident of happenstance. I really don't think that there's anything in there that says, gee, you know, we have to have some stupid idiot
Cambodia, Thailand, Tonga. I mean, where else are they going to get these people from?
I don't know. I don't know. But,
Burkina Faso.
Oh, jeez.
You know,
By the way, did you know that... there was Kofi Annan they sent over to talk about an ex-UN head to go and talk to President Assad in Syria. You know, I'm just like, what? I mean...
And what did he tell him to do in his hat and wear it backwards?
You betcha. That's it. He said, no way. I'm not doing anything, you know. This is my country, and I'm going to do what I feel is necessary.
So, but, you know, somebody staying with Assad there for a moment. George Clooney and his father got busted over there the other day.
No, it was here. It was in D.C.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
Well, I know. You know what? Because I care so much about another Hollywood liberal media elite.
Yeah.
in George Clooney, all right? I didn't read the. I got to confess, I didn't read the. I know it was a Syria protest.
Yeah. No, no, it was Sudan, actually.
Was it Sudan? It was Sudan. They had an S in it.
Yeah, that's it. It's Sudan. And it was him, his father, and also Congressman Jim Moran of Virginia, who is another Democrat blowhard who doesn't know, you know.
I apologize to President Assad.
You did?
I just did.
Okay.
For thinking he was such a low class scumbag to let George Clooney into his country.
Into his house, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, you just look at this crap and you go, come on, guys, you know. And you know what? Somebody that I follow on Twitter tweeted, you know, gee, George Clooney's so worried about the people that are massacred in Sudan, but damn, he doesn't give a damn about any of the babies that are aborted each year.
You know, God, no.
Which is true.
But I look at this stuff and it just sometimes I have to shake my head. You know, where on earth, when we need him, where the heck is Jimmy Carter?
Jimmy Carter's out there, you know, doing another hate speech about America.
Well, there's a big difference between giving a hate speech about America and going around the world apologizing for us. The thing is, do you think maybe somebody at, some house on Pennsylvania Avenue got a hold of him and said, Jimmy, stay home?
Yeah, stay home. You think so?
You know,
I don't know.
Because, I mean, he had no compunction whatsoever about flitting here, there, and the next place for 25 years.
That's true. He has
been. All this stuff going on ever since Arab Spring, you'd think he would have been in every single one of those squares, mm-hmm. or at least in the mansions, you know.
Yep. Yeah, got
talking to the leaders. And, you know, he hasn't even been to Korea since...
Since
the first bad haircut died.
Un took his place.
Yeah.
Whatever the heck his name is. But, there's a bunch of crap.
The bad haircut guy who's going to launch a missile this week after we asked him to not last week, we sent him several tons of food.
And
now he's going to launch the missile, and people say, well, why would he do that? Because he's who he is.
Yes. Yeah. He's a dictator, okay? He doesn't play by rules. They never do. And you have some people over here going, well, if we treat them nice, then they'll act properly. No, that's not the way it works. A killer is a killer. A dictator is a dictator. They're called dictators for a specific reason. Well, they don't give a damn about anybody else.
And if we send them food again, will he turn off the switch? Well, maybe.
No.
Well, if we send them food again after that, will he keep the switch off? Well, probably. You know, but sooner or later, we're going to run out of food. We don't have people eating now in this country.
That's true. We have a lot of
people. And we're going to send even, you know, who are we going to send people? Oh, the Republicans want to starve grandma. Well, who do we want? Which grandma do we want to starve to send more food to the Koreans so they don't send up missiles? I got news for you. Mm-hmm. For the amount of money we'd spend on food to keep him from firing a missile, we could spend a lot of money on awful extreme weapons and make the missiles disappear.
And who's to say he's not taking that food and selling it to another country?
For more missiles.
Yes.
You know, what the heck?
Right.
You know, I don't care what's going on.
No, I don't care either. I don't think any of our food should be going there.
We got mighty missile. Not anymore, Kimmy.
No. Yeah, I know. But we don't have people in Congress or in the White House that would do that. We don't have anybody with guts.
Well, I think we do have people with guts.
Really?
They're too few and far between. So that's just given. That, you know, because there are people out there. I mean, we do have Americans who do have guts. There's no two ways about it. West has guts.
Yes, he does.
Kane has guts. Bachman has guts. Mm-hmm. She's got gumption dripping out of her.
She does. Yeah, I wish she had.
We do have Americans who have what it takes to get it done. The problem is that they're too few and far between, and the party won't back them.
Because
they do have that level of gumption to be outspoken, to be pro-American. To be cognizant of what our national interests are, should be, shouldn't be, and how to get her done, so to speak.
Yes.
And the party itself has failed them in that regard.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, that's why. That's why we had Clinton. That's why we. Well, let's go back. That's why we had Carter. That's why we had Clinton, and that's why we now have Obama. Because the Republican Party fails.
Yes, it does. But let me go one step further than that down the same avenue we started on, with as far as what they stand for and what they don't. Okay. Mm-hmm. That same, you know, we want to talk about the things that Carter did, the things that Clinton did, and we want to talk about the stuff Obama's doing. We can't leave the globalist agenda just on the shoulders of the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, you're right. No, you're right. Because if you don't have anybody fighting back, you are an enabler. And there's nobody fighting back on the other side. They're hand in hand.
When we had 9/11 come through, Bush 43 handled it. He didn't handle it as well as I would have liked to have seen.
Mm-hmm.
He mired us, and I saw it coming. I mean, granted, the left saw it coming, too. But, I mean, I saw it coming by the way they prosecuted the first Gulf War, by the way that, you know, back in 89-90, mm-hmm. I saw the way they prosecuted the second Gulf War. I saw the fact that it took, you know, it took him all the way beyond his loss of the election
mm-hmm.
to, you know, I'm sorry, we had plenty of intel. If we wanted bin Laden, there ain't a mountain, a molehill, or anything else, or one of those prayer rugs he could have hid underneath of that we couldn't have found him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we didn't. And Saddam Hussein, it took us that long to get that man? No, I'm sorry. That was silly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was silly. Because, you know, it's the same thing with Gaddafi. We let his own people get him. Yeah, okay, that's fine. But back in 70, I want to say 78 or 70, it was immediately before the hostage group. I don't know how immediately, but just before the hostage crisis, mm-hmm. Gaddafi was making all this noise.
Yep.
And he had 25 tents pitched in the desert. We sent cruise missiles over and took out 24 of them and left the tent with him in it saying, get it, Mo?
Mm.
And he said, okay. And he shut up and he went away for a long time. He was off the radar for a long time because we scared this camel's not out of him.
That's true.
And, you know, as far as that's concerned, why did it take us that long? Once he surfaced again, why did it take us that long to get him? Well, we want to let his own people get him. So we fomented whatever, or whoever fomented whatever, and they got him. That's nice. Okay, swell. But all this other stuff, we got mired for 10 years, and I know it. I knew it was coming. Because I knew it was going to be another politician's war instead of another general's war.
Yep.
You know, when Schwarzkopf went over in Desert Shield, Desert Storm, Schwarzkopf walked in the door and said, okay, let's fix this up. How long did it take? 100 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You let a general do his job, and he gets it done.
Right.
You get the politicians do the job. Here we are 10 years later. We're starting to, we're getting ultimatums from people we've just defended from every kind of evil under the sun. And now they're saying, get out.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. When we leave Afghanistan, I don't even want a Q-tip left there. I want everything in a big pile. I don't care how many miles wide it is or miles high, and I want it bombed.
That's what I said.
I don't want to give them a damn.
The Pentagon said we have to leave all this stuff because it's too expensive to transport.
That's
because it's
fine.
Fine.
Yep.
Bomb it, burn it, whatever you want to do.
Yep.
You know, set a couple of young guys from the maintenance shop out there with torches. You know, listen, I don't know if you know this. Every single piece of equipment in the inventory, I don't know if it still does. Maybe I don't know this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But back in my day, every single piece of equipment owned by the United States Army
mm-hmm.
that could have a tactical or strategic advantage to an enemy
yeah,
had a clip mounted someplace on it. In Jeeps and small trucks, it was on the engine block.
Okay.
In howitzer cannons, it was in the breech.
Okay.
You know, stuff like that. And there was a section of the manual that you get when you get your howitzer or that you get when you get your Jeep that you're supposed to familiarize yourself with that says, this is where you put the thermite grenade.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is you destroy the same piece on all of them so they can't
right.
take three of them and make one, so to speak.
Right.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Walk up to the truck, stick the thing in there, pull the pin, walk away, go to the next truck, stick the thing in there, pull the pin, walk to the next one, and just do that over and over. Every howitzer, every truck, every Jeep, every drone, every pile of munitions, every, you name it, pull the pin. It's that easy.
But they won't do it.
No. They'll find a way in the interest of trying to keep a friend and all this other stuff.
They're not our friends. They're never going to be our friends. And, you know, it's the culture.
They're not our friends.
No.
They're never going to be our friends. And it's no skin off my nose.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I am tired of trying to suck up to these countries and play nicey-nice, and then they just turn around and kick us in the face. You know, I agree with Rick Perry and his stipulation that every year we start from zero when it comes to foreign aid. For every country, we start from $0. We just do not automatically give them what we gave them last year or decide on an increase. You know, and I think we have to start cutting out people.
Cutting out people?
Well, you know,
I mean,
countries.
other than Britain and Israel, can you name any you really think we should keep?
Okay.
That's fine. You know, I'm sorry, I'm at a loss here. You know, and that's you know, hey, you know what it's like to get me to shut up. I'm at a loss here for words, you know. I don't know anybody that I really want to give money to. No. You know, and you know, look, if they would, it's one thing to say, well, you know, not everybody out there is our enemy. Okay, that's true. And not, you know, and sometimes, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. No.
I know. Yeah, I know.
No. No, my friend is my friend. Mm-hmm. The enemy of my enemy is my enemy's enemy. It's got nothing to do with me.
Yeah, that's true. Because they can be your enemy too. I mean, you know, you can just because they you know, they dislike the same person or same organization that you did does not mean that they're going to befriend you. But
and if they came, if they, you know what, if we just gave it to the two people I already named.
Yeah.
And we had all of a sudden start putting this into our economy where it belongs.
That's right.
You know, that kind of stuff. And somebody came to us, you know, Indonesia comes to us because they have this another tsunami, right? Mm-hmm. And they say, hey, Uncle Sam, you think you could spare a little? Yeah, sure, no problem. Here's the check. Mm-hmm. You know, are you going on, you know, our payroll for the rest of your life? No.
No.
You need help with this? No problem. We'll take care. Look, there's two aircraft carriers within a couple of nautical miles of you. We'll have them in your driveway in a minute. We'll take care of your sick. We'll take care of your wounded. We've got a construction battalion on there, and we'll take care of, you know, airlift stuff. And it'll be wonderful. Just sit back and relax for a couple days. And we'll go in. We clean it up. We leave them with a few bucks. And we come home.
That's right.
Just like that.
That's right.
Just like that. And if they say, oh, thank you, that was wonderful, you know, okay, instead of having, you know, the people walking around the lobby of the U.N., you know, complaining that we didn't do enough. You know, there was one something, and I don't remember if it was the tsunami. I don't remember. I don't remember if it was an earthquake. I just don't remember. But there was a disaster in the last decade or so, mm-hmm. where somebody was whining about the amount we did for that particular disaster. And they were complaining about how much the amount we did was in relation to our, I don't remember, our gross national product, our gross domestic product. Mm-hmm. You know, frankly, you know, who cares? Our product is gross. The issue was that we didn't do enough as a percentage of our gross, but whatever product.
Oh,
and geez. the trick was that when you the guy turned around, I think it was I'm trying to remember his name with the walrus mustache. Oh my God, forgive me. I love
Bolton. John Bolton
said, you did the math wrong. And the guy said, oh, no, I have to figure it right in front of me. He said, no, you did the math wrong. Whatever percentage of our gross product it was is immaterial. We still gave 25 times more than the rest of you suckers added up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
We were there first. We left last. We gave 25% 25 times the amount the rest of you did added up. Shut up and sit down. You know, and the other time something happened when our aircraft carriers got somewhere, and said, oh, the French guy said, oh, what are they going to do, bomb them?
Bomb them, yeah. Idiots.
You know, listen.
Damn floating city. We got surgery. What do you call it, operating rooms on that aircraft carrier than half
the world. Yes. Yeah. In the meantime, I should have told that guy, or somebody should have told that guy. Next time you're in Illinois, there's this senator you should go have lunch with. He thinks islands flip over.
Jeez. Oh, yeah. 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 He happens to be Democrat. You know.
No, was that true? No kidding.
No kidding. Yeah.
Mm, no kidding. Oh, you know, the Democrats who are still in favor of our government-funded schooling.
Oh yeah, government-funded. Mm. Oh yes, yeah, schooling and oh yeah, birth control.
People who think that islands flip over if you put too many people on them.
Oh man.
That gave us people like Maxine Waters.
Sheila Jackson Lee.
Debbie
Wasserman Schultz. Yeah.
And let's not forget what's the phrase that the blonde girl uses? San Fran Grand Nan.
Yeah, there she is. Or I've heard some people refer to her as Pineapple Princess.
Pineapple Princess. Yes,
because she owns part of the pineapple plantation in Hawaii somewhere. So. Yeah, they're all.
Yeah, well, that's, you know.
You notice we've just named the women what?
That's she's got a pineapple plant in her getaway home. Yeah. So she writes it off as a subsidized pineapple plantation.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's probably 2 feet by 2 feet, you know.
Yeah, what a pineapple plant. Yeah. You know, my mom won a pineapple plant at a card party or something back in the 60s.
You know, that's funny because I remember people that being always a prize sometimes. In the
pineapple
60s,
plant.
Yes.
And what was funny is she brought it home and she put it up on this windowsill. And you know, son of a gun, like 6 months later, there was a pineapple on it. And it actually, none of us knew how a pineapple grew. I mean, we knew it. Next thing you know, there's this pineapple sticking out of it. It started out, you know, the size of, I don't know, a kernel of corn.
Yeah.
You know? Next thing you know, it got to be about half a pound, and the little supporting thing broke. So we took it and we set it on the counter like we do with every other pineapple. It got ripe. We ate it. It was wonderful. You know, it really kind of. It was probably toxic growing in potting soil. You won't put the. But it was neat. I like pineapple. Well, I'm Italian. I like all the fruit. You know, except bananas. I don't like bananas.
Yeah, I know. You know, you don't like bananas. You know.
And you know, I like mangoes, but only the dehydrated ones.
Mm, really? No, I like mangoes.
No, I don't like any. And I have no use whatsoever for avocados. You can have my share.
I'm not a big avocado person. No, I'm not. But I love figs. Ooh, I like figs.
Oh, you know me. Oh, figs. I take the figs and I put them in the wine. Forget it.
Yes.
But you know the other one? How much melon do you eat? And, you know, because like Debbie is a watermelon freak.
No, I don't. I'm not a watermelon person. When I do eat, it's
watermelon.
Cantaloupe or
Yeah, I'm a watermelon
cassava.
Nut. Debbie's a watermelon
really?
Freak.
Really? Oh, okay.
I love cantaloupe, muskmelon, whichever
musk
one you want to call it.
Yeah.
I like honeydew first rate. It's okay, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard in Maine to get one that's any good.
Yeah.
Well, one day, years and years and years ago, I bought a melon that I found in the ShopRite. For some of our listeners, you're not going to know what a ShopRite is. It's okay, because if we tell you, then we got to kill you. I went to the ShopRite. And I found this melon, and I don't remember what it was called. I don't remember what it was called, a Crenshaw, a Santa Claus, an Easter Island, whatever it was. It was some sort of melon. Oh, it was pretty. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a banana yellow with white, squiggly stripes like a watermelon gets, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, this is good. It tasted like waste oil.
Yeah.
It was ripe. It's not known for being sweet, but they didn't have that on their shelf tag. Yeah. I bought that thing home. It tasted like waste oil. And haven't been a mechanic as long as I have. I know what waste oil is.
Yeah. I know.
But anyway, where were we? Oh, we were talking about Nancy Pelosi's
Nancy Pelosi.
Farm. Yeah.
But no. You notice all the Democrats we named were women?
Oh, no. It has nothing to do with their gender. Whether they were born that gender or not. It has nothing to do with their gender.
But wait a minute. I'm trying to make a point here. The fact is that all these people, they're all women, and they're supposed to be women in charge of their own fates. And
strong women.
These are the people that advocated the feminazi,
self-determined women.
Exactly. And they're the same ones that are going, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, you're not going to pay for birth control. Yeah.
Does Nancy Pelosi have a maiden name? I'm sorry, I'm ignorant of this. Does she have a maiden name, or is that her maiden name?
I'll be honest with you. I think that is her maiden name.
You know what? Here we go again. It always hurts worse when it's a bison, right?
I know. It does. It really does. Because, she's not exactly, I know. Just like Panetta,
Oh, God, Panetta. He's another one. Oh, they shot at me, but I don't think it was because I was there.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole lot better than Hillary Clinton, who said they shot at her and they didn't.
There was nobody there,
I love that one. Oh, no, you don't understand. When we were on the aircraft, they said it could happen. But that's not what you said.
That
is what I said. Well, no, here's the tape. Oh, well, that's not what I meant. I was under stress. You're under stress, so you misspoke something about a firefight taking place when you hit the... Let me tell you about firefights. When you hit the ground in an aircraft, lady, you don't make a mistake about whether or not you were in one.
Yep.
All right? So when it comes right down to that, if you're under that much stress... that it could have happened. What are you going to do with your finger on a button? Why would anybody vote for you?
Yep. I know.
Mm-mm-mm. But the thing that's, Panetta, he didn't think it was that they were shooting because he was there. And some of these other guys, you look at some of these other guys, and not even the Pisons, it makes you wonder, Schumer.
Wait a minute, can we backtrack a second?
What did I do, drop out?
No, not you. No, Nancy Pelosi. I just looked her up.
Oh, good.
She is a paisana.
That's a shame.
Her maiden name is D'Alessandro.
So she's a paisana either way?
Yeah.
And
they're from Baltimore. But then, you know what? I don't consider people, Italians that live in Baltimore, paisanos. They don't act Italian. Honest to God. And I'm going to probably get a lot of crap. But
I'm going to get some crap, too, for what I'm going to say. You know, it's the same thing as we talk about every once in a while about Sardinians.
Uh-oh. No.
I mean, cities are one thing,
So,
I think Sardinians are every bit as much Italian as Maltese are.
Maltese, yeah.
I was talking about that dog.
Cute little thing.
Rainier's a nice guy. Grace is adorable. Look at some of these guys like Schumer.
Oh man. Yeah. What? I don't get it. I don't understand. I really don't.
And what's that other guy? It always.
What?
I always forget his name, and it pains me that my memory is going the way it is. In Harry Potter, the movies, the Harry Potter movies, the guy who played the one that was turned into kid's rat, and when they make him a person again instead of a rat, he's got the little rat teeth in him.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a senator that looks like that.
I'm trying to remember who that is. From what state? Do you know?
Yeah, right. Ask me.
Okay, bye.
You're going to ask me that? He's a little beastly-looking guy, and I'm like... You don't hear from him much. You don't hear from him much. He's just kind of there. But he's in all the pictures, all the bill signings. He's always right there. He might even be a congressman. I don't know. But the good thing about him is you don't hear from him.
Okay.
He's just kind of there. Matter of fact, he might even, as far as I know, he might be the guy who hands the president the pens. I don't know. I thought maybe he was a senator.
I don't know. You got me on that one. I'm going to have to look it up.
I'm sorry. You're letting me cast dispersion of people. I don't even remember their name.
So what else is... I don't know. No, it's okay. Yeah.
No, I'm usually pretty good if I'm going to wax epithetical, I'm usually pretty good about knowing where it's headed.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Not always. But a percentage of the time. Oh, goodness. But it's been a heck of a week. for the people who may be listening from afar, it's been a heck of a week weather-wise.
Mm-hmm. I've had a some areas the country has been very, very warm. Chicago was 80.
Yeah, and they want I think they want 75 degrees here this week at one point or another, which will definitely pop the crocuses out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it's nice because it's going to make a difference in a lot of Americans' heating bills.
That's true. Oh, that's true.
And that's important because it drives demand down.
Mm-hmm. But you know that this nice weather is making Obama a little nervous.
Is it?
Yes, I've been reading.
Why is it? Is Michelle threatening to go on vacation again?
What? In the Weekly Standard, there is an article that says it's written by Daniel Halper, and he says, at a posh fundraiser in Atlanta where 40 guests each paid $35,800 to attend, President Obama talked about the weather. As today's White House pool reporter notes, President of the United States talked about how he had been in Chicago and Atlanta and how the weather was so warm. It gets you a little nervous about what is happening to global temperatures. When it is 75 degrees in Chicago in the beginning of March, you start thinking. Of course, he was referring to warming. You know, yeah, I know. Of course, he was referring to global warming, that fantastic lie that, you know, the liberals are using. And
I think the only thing he ever thinks about is where the hell's my teleprompter?
Yeah, that's true.
I really do. The global warming thing that they fall back on has been so beat to death now.
He's still pushing it.
You know what? I know some very small kids who, friends of the wife, children, who, you know, are anywhere between K and 3 school age. And it's amazing because, you know, you would think that they would be absolutely, positively, full tilt boogie, global warming, you know, oh my God, the poor little polar bear. And you know what? They're not.
Well, I hope not. I mean, you know, the parents have to take things in hand and not let those teachers.
Yeah, well, then again, you figure if they're friends of my wife's, you know, she's not dealing with anybody who just lets the government school their
that's
children
true.
Call it a day.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, the fact that it's been debunked over and over. It was debunked 15 minutes after it came out as a theory, and only because it took them that long to run this stuff off the copier saying, no, your stuff is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and I'm not saying that there aren't, you know, I'm one of the people who believes it's not that there isn't climate change. I just don't believe in the anthropogenic climate change.
That's right, yeah.
You know, the fact that, you know, even the people who were sympathetic to the climate change angle were quick to point out that, yes, there is climate change, but it's not because of us.
That's
and
right.
If it was going to be because of us, what about the Industrial Revolution when we were burning coal?
That's right.
You know, a railroad car at a time in smelting plants and stuff like that, you know, denuding the forests to build the frontier and created the Dust Bowl in the Midwest that, you know, we had cut down every tree bigger than your thumb, you know, for a million miles around.
Mm-hmm.
How come that stuff didn't cause this monumental global climate change? Yeah, it changed the way things worked in the Midwest for a while.
Yeah.
But it didn't, we didn't have this, oh my God, how come any volcano of worthy of making the 6 o'clock news dumps more stuff into the atmosphere than mankind has since he struck the first rock to make fire. You know, how come, you know, when we have a high volcanic year or two, which we did back in the 70s.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
How come all of a sudden, you know, the ice caps didn't melt, you know, we didn't have mass extinction on a global scale of amphibians and, you know, because as frogs go, so goes the environment. You know, I've heard that before. And I like frogs. You
yes,
know, I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's so much hooey that if it wasn't for the fact that it was being beaten, literally, blackjacked into the back of Americans' skulls, it's something that should have been right up there with, you know, the people who go to Roswell every 4th of July, you know, the people who believe the pyramids were built by aliens, you know, you know, all this stuff. It should be laughable. It should be. It should have been treated with no more sense of veracity than Jules Verne. You know, I mean, it just shouldn't.
Well, yeah, but you know that there was a backstory to that. That it was part of, again, redistribution of wealth. You know, evening things out for everybody else in the world at the expense of the United States. You know, and other major industrial countries.
I have something to lay on you.
Yeah, what?
If it wasn't, if it wasn't for the United Nations or the International Monetary Fund, World Bank, all these other things. I am of the suspicion that the quality of life globally would be better than it is now if we were allowed to just say, okay, we're going to help these people. And, you know, whether it's the Sudan or whether it's Ghana or whether it's Somalia, whether it's Hindustan, you know, wherever it is. Some stand somewhere. If the American people were left to their own generous devices, hunger and disease would probably have already been stamped out. I think that our own innate generosity would have taken care of it. I really do believe that. I think the problem is that everybody wants to take our money.
Yes.
And so consequently, they keep fighting over it and arguing over it and taking it surreptitiously and taking it through, you know, hidden taxes, hidden fees, hidden, you know, surcharges, excises, and all of these things. If they had just left us alone to do what we do, we probably would have eradicated. Jonas Salk. Sent to Russia. They had this monstrous, back in 57 or 8, I want to say, this is stuff I'm trying to remember from 40 years ago. Anyway, 57 or 58, they had this monstrous outbreak of polio. Absolutely horrendous outbreak of polio. His vaccine had been proven. He sent them millions of cases of vaccine and never included a bill. Never even sent over an invoice. Sent over a little card saying, here, take care of your people. That's just one thing I can think of. Just one thing I can think of.
Right.
All right. If you had just left us alone so we could have, you know, laissez-faire business the way it was supposed to be.
That's right.
You know, that we could all have prosperity. You know, we could have life, liberty, and we could pursue our happiness up and down the block, you know, having a nice time, you know, dancing in the moonlight, whatever. You know, we would have taken care of any issue that came up that we were made aware of.
Yeah, unfortunately, you have this little thing called human nature where you have some people that always have to be at the top of things and they always have to be in control of everything, whether it's food, money, military, whatever. They have to be in control. And there is no...
I think it's simple covet, to be honest with you, because...
All right, man.
Because I think it is. It's simply covet. They covet what we've got.
Yeah.
But we would be perfectly... I hunt, you know, I hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into a scenario a few years ago in the woods where there were some hunters who were behaving unethically.
Mm-hmm.
And I dropped a dime on them.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
You know, I mean, because, look, I'm sorry, to me, the hunt is something I do. It leaves obsession and compulsion behind. It's something I do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because of my lifelong addiction to food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I have no problem, because when I hunt, I'm not hunting because I want to, you know, nail Bambi's head to Knotty Pine. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm hunting because heck, the head doesn't even survive most of the time.
That's right.
You know, so you know, I'm hunting for food.
Yes.
And I was talking to our local game warden at the time. He's moved on. And he stopped and thanked me for the tip, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, I said, hey, you know, he said, you know, people, it's hard times. You know, people are, you know, maybe they think they can't afford. I think at the time the resident hunting license was $38. Mm-hmm. You know, they may not be able to scrape together the $38. And I said, you know what, if they can't scrape together $38 and they see me gutting a deer out, and they came up and said, hey, nice deer. And yes, it is. You know, it's like, well, you know, I got a couple of kids at home. They'd love to have some deer, but, you know, I can't scrape together the license fee. Mm-hmm. While I'm standing there, I'd hack a leg off the thing and hand it to them. Say, here, take it home to your family.
Right. But you know what? You know, thing is that those guys probably wouldn't spend the $38 on the license, but they would have it for, you know, five cases of beer, you know.
Well, maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. I mean, I don't believe I can always, a lot of times I can, but I don't believe I can always see into a man's heart. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't presume to. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, some of these guys, when they go past you on a four-wheeler, guns blazing, and their bottle of Allen Cosby brandy in their hand.
There you go.
You know, okay, that's one thing, you know. But if you've got a guy out there and you know, you run into him, and he's got this rusty old gun, you know, boots that saw better days, you know.
Well, yeah, there's a difference. Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying. You can't always tell. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, my issue is that there are people out there that are just not doing it right. That's why I don't have any problem, you know.
That's right.
Because, hey, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll need a break someday.
Yep.
You know, as far as from the warden. So there's a certain self-motivation there, too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's a question of covetousness. I feel that way. If somebody said to me, I need to feed my family.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, especially, you know what? If it was a year when I had two tags, I'd give them the whole deer.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
You know, I had one year when I had two tags. Mm-hmm. Well, no problem. I got the deer. I gutted it out. I called the warden, come get this deer. What do you want me to do with it? Yeah. Take it to Hunters for the Hungry.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I took a skill that I have, an ability that I have, and I put it to good use. Mm-hmm. And I think most Americans would do the same thing.
Well, I think it's been proven time and time again that, you know, most of us do this the right thing. You know, in America. I mean, look at all the disasters that have happened throughout the world and in the United States. We're the first ones to offer up help, whether it's monetarily, whether it's donating of clothes or whatever. You know, we're the first ones out there doing it.
And if we weren't, they'd be all over us on the seat as the Florida General Assembly the next 15 minutes from now.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
I know. It's ridiculous.
But that's not why we do it. We do it because we do it.
We've been raised. It's the right thing to do. You know, I don't know. It's the right thing to do.
I think it is the right thing to do, and I think that if we were left to our own devices, we would have stamped out hunger and disease a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about, you know, the people, this whole thing now with that joker down in Africa, that Coney fella.
Coney. Oh, did you hear that? The latest on the. The filmmaker and the co-founder of Invisible Children?
Yeah, well...
What in God's name?
You know, look, you can't... Isn't it always the way? I mean, I'm sorry, that's not one of those isolated incidents.
Yeah.
You know,
but you know what? I still do not think that film is... I think it's part of something larger. I know, here we go with the tinfoil hat again, but... I'm just very suspicious of that film.
Oh, I'm suspicious as hell of it. Yeah. No. I said, I could tell you a thing or two about Uganda.
Yeah.
But
So
again, that neighborhood has been that neighborhood
forever.
I was going to say at least as far back as I can remember, that's got to be at least 250,000 years.
That's right. Yeah.
So there's nothing you're going to. Literally nothing you're going to, unless you could literally just obliterate everything over there and, like, leave two very nice people there, like Adam and Eve, and repopulate the entire place. There's nothing you're going to do.
Let's start over. Yeah, I know.
Because anybody that's alive right now and has ever, some 8-year-old kid who's been walking around for the last 6 months with an AK-47, mm-hmm. I mean, if he's the last guy there, he's going to turn out to be the same way.
That's right. Yeah.
There's no amount of food you can throw at them. There's no amount of money you can throw at them.
And we've been throwing a lot at them. A lot.
And we have. And it's just going to continue. It's just going to happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do the whole, there are people right now that are starving in Africa because of our largesse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we took people that were nomadic and saw that they were skinny, and we said, okay, wait here. We'll land some C-130s on this tarmac over here, and we'll give you all food. So they waited, and we landed the C-130s, and we gave them food. But they're nomads.
Yeah.
Now they missed where they're supposed to be. They missed their bus, yep. So to speak.
Yep, yep.
So now they become dependent.
Yeah,
because we took their independence away from them.
Yeah,
and that's a problem. And if we would just say, hey, you know what? Anybody that needs help, give us, knock 3 times. We're right there for you.
That's true. Yep, we'll give you stuff. Ask.
Sure.
Yeah. You know?
Sure. Well, hell, we'll even give you birth control.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah, birth control. That issue is still going on.
Yeah, well, it's been going on a long time. Wasn't it Rajiv Gandhi that was caught putting the estrogen in the wells?
No, really?
Oh, God, it was years and years and years ago. He's been dead for...
I didn't know that. I did not
know that. Oh, yeah, and Dearest Kid. Oh. Yeah, he was... To try and stop the population, he was putting birth control in the water and stuff.
Oh, my God, I had no idea about that.
Yeah, that was a real... That was another... One of the only times the UN actually said something bad about somebody besides us.
Yeah.
Or Israel,
Yeah, Israel. Well, if it's us one day and it's Israel the next day.
It's Saturday,
it's us. Oh, so, we still have this little GOP presidential race going on.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. That's still going on. But I think good, though. A lot of people, some people are saying, this is going on too long. Oh, by the way, who said that? Romney.
Of course he did. He's like, come on.
Please. Crown me, folks. Yes, my coronation.
Where's my crown?
Yeah, where's my crown?
But I don't, I'll tell you, I have no way to address it. I am that flabbergasted by the process right now. I am so flabbergasted by the process right now. I don't remember who said it, but it was somebody wiser than I who said...
Probably me. No, just kidding.
If they keep going this way, they're not going to have the money to beat Obama.
I don't know about that. I think that's a no. No.
And
I can't agree with you on
that
one.
Well, but that, I didn't say it. Somebody else did.
Oh, okay.
But whoever it was, I'd love to give them props, but I know it wasn't me. If they keep going, and this is weeks ago.
Yes.
They said if they keep going like this, they're not going to have enough money to beat Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And the tactics and stuff that they would never use on Obama, that they're using on each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, Romney, most of all. And I have to say this, and I'm probably going to get a lot of hate mail from Romney people, but it is true. Man is using so much money right now in Illinois to put down Santorum. It's unbelievable. He is hanging by a thread in Illinois. It's not like he's got it, locked up. Yeah.
But even at that, he's still significantly ahead in the delegate race.
Yeah, but you know what? He has not been able to put it away.
No, he has not been able to put it away.
No.
And the thing that kills me, because for a fact, after the way he's been acting, there's nobody on that left on that dais now that's going to get the nod for Veep. Not Gingrich, not Santorum, none of them. None of them are going to get to nod for Veep.
Oh, no. And oh, no. No.
The only positive thing about Romney is maybe, just maybe, out of like a crack of thunder, maybe he'll have this enlightenment hit him like the last 20 minutes of the Blues Brothers movie. He'll have this enlightenment hit him. And he'll pick somebody good for Veep. I doubt it.
Oh, I doubt it. Too.
He hasn't shown good judgment so far. So, you know, then it can happen. The problem that I have with it is that he is still hitting it very, very hard, and I don't believe he will as we get closer to November. I think once the convention is over and he walks away with the nod, he's just going to, you know, say, okay, guys, it's been real. It's been nice. You know, I'll see you, in November. Wait, where are you going? Oh, I'm going home. I'm tired. Maybe you're tired. You got to fight now.
He's not going to He's not going to hit Obama.
So he doesn't care how much money he's spending now because he's not going to use it in the general election race.
That's a good point. That is a good point. You know what? There's also been some reports out there that Chris Christie is actually campaigning harder for Romney than Romney is for himself. So,
I don't understand that. I don't understand that.
I don't understand it either.
I mean,
you compare the both. I mean, and I have to admit, Chris Christie made a big faux pas last week, which I did not agree with. And actually, it's coming back to bite him when he yelled at that Navy SEAL, called him an idiot.
Yeah, that was kind of.
Yeah, and the guy was just asking a question.
I'm wondering if old Chris ain't getting. Well, let's just say burned out a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, too.
You can't be that hard, that much, that fast, that often, no matter where in Jersey you're from.
Yeah, yeah, no. And
plus, not have a ticket stalled.
Yeah, no, you know as well as I do
that. He had a couple of scares already, health-wise.
Yes, he did.
You know, and I think Chris Christie is a lot of things, but he's no neocon.
No. Well, wait a minute. I don't know.
He describes himself as socially moderate.
Yeah, okay, yes. He is socially moderate to liberal.
So you know he's not gonna be a Santorum supporter.
No, he's not. No. Maybe he should have just stayed out of it. I really wish that most of the governors would have stayed out of it.
I really do too. Yeah. But I mean, you know, I'm sorry, Jan Brewer handed Arizona over.
Oh God, you know, what was wrong with her? Just sit back. Just let it play out.
Backroom deal. Yeah. She got something.
Maybe he's going to pick her for VP.
I don't even think it's that much. I think he made a backroom deal with her on, you know, I think they went to some you know, Super 8 or Motel 6 or something like that down there, or, you know, and they got together, and Joe Arpaio and her and him, and they made this deal saying, you know what? As soon as I get in the White House, we're going to put a wall across the bottom of your state.
Well, I'll be honest. If he promised her that and he does it, then I say, okay, fine. But I don't think he's going to do it.
He's soft on immigration anyway.
Yeah, he is. And the thing is, well, he keeps saying he's not. He keeps saying he wants to send all 12 million back, and I don't think it's going to happen.
He won't send the million that are in Massachusetts back.
No, he won't. He didn't last time. He made it easy for illegals to get Romney care.
Yep.
You know, and so that's breaking them. So, you know.
And in-state tuition. And.
That's right. And also.
In-state driver's licenses.
That's right. Yes.
And,
So, yeah. I mean, see where this is going, right? Yeah. But the thing is, you know what? And I keep thinking, why the heck did the GOP elites and everybody just want to back Romney? Why'd they push him? And, you know, I finally realized that, you know, you compare him to Obama and you go, oh, look at that. You know, they think maybe he resembles Ronald Reagan, you know, because of his hair, and he's tall, but he doesn't sound anything like Reagan. He doesn't have the conviction of his beliefs like Ronald Reagan did. I mean, so, you know, just because somebody may resemble Ronald Reagan in some way does not mean that they're going to be the ideal GOP candidate.
I'll tell you one way. I'll tell you one physical attribute he doesn't have that Reagan had.
What?
Never mind.
Never what do you mean, mind. Never mind?
Never mind. Let's just say that when it comes to underclothing, he doesn't need a particular item.
Oh, okay. There you go. Okay, fine. That's fine. Okay, that's true. That is true. I mean, you know, I don't want to. Yeah.
St. Ronald of Reagan was a whole lot different. A whole lot. I mean, you know what? Look, There was nobody in this race from minute one that could carry his water.
No, no.
And there's nobody that's been in this race since minute one that should have been standing behind him handing him pens.
Yeah. I know. See, the thing is, too, is that, you know, Ronald Reagan, he was able to identify and be comfortable with anybody. With anybody. I mean, whether it was somebody who was very, very rich or a working person, you know? I mean, he didn't go down south and say, I'm even... I mean, God, Romney went down south, and it was like he was in a third world country. I mean, he was so patronizing, and so, you know, I'm learning how to say y'all, and I'm even learning how to like grits, and it's like, where have you been?
Well, guess what? I ain't gonna vote for y'all.
Man, I'm just like, holy
You're
Moses.
Patronizing... Anyway,
I
don't honestly know if the party elite did necessarily want Mitt Romney.
Oh, I think the media did. No. You know, the thing is, too. No. He has been pushed since, God, what, 2006. I mean, they were ticked off. They were ticked off. And he never stopped running.
The biggest problem is they've been pushing him for at least since 06.
It's the same thing, though.
I remember his name coming up quite a bit in 04.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, because even as a vice presidential candidate.
That's right.
Or what have you. You know, and the thing is, then he's turned around and started doing all this Democrat stuff in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And the party didn't turn around and say, whoa, what are you doing?
Well, you see, the thing is, the excuse he gives all the time is it's because it was such a liberal state, he had to do it, you know, to get along. And it's like, no, you didn't.
No. And you know, so. I'm sorry. You know, no, you didn't have to.
Yeah.
You know, that's the difference. That's the difference. Ronald Reagan would have stood there and said, oh, what's this bill on my desk? Oh,
trash can.
Free healthcare for illegal. No, I don't think so.
2 points.
The trash can, it would have went, sure.
Two points.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, hey, listen, when you get something, send it to me. I'll be at the ranch.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you know,
on my horse.
Ronald Reagan did trust the Democrats once, and that was in 1986 when he did sign the amnesty bill. And
yes.
They promised him that they would, you know, start taking steps to closing the border and you know, making things more strict, and he never got it back from them. And he even said, you know, basically, I'm paraphrasing, I blew that one, you know.
Yep.
So
he did. He blew it. But the thing is,
But we should learn from that. You cannot trust these people.
Nope.
And
no, you can't trust them. And Romney's no better than any of them.
That's right.
And as I said, you know, I know I've said this, you know, in the past. You know, I'd almost settle for a rhino.
Because he's a Democrat.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think will happen if this goes to convention? If there's no clear
You know, they're talking about whether it'll be a brokered convention.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't see any reason not to have one.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't see any reason I can't see a reason why people, we don't want that. Why not?
Why not? Go ahead, what?
Myself, personally, I'm just a purist. Maybe I'm just an old, you know, maybe I'm a crankier old goat than it even says in my bio. I believe in certain things that should be the way they are. I believe we should still be in the gold standard.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I believe we should never have had the Electoral College.
No. I disagree with you on that one.
Well, maybe you
popular
do, but
vote,
I'm
popular trying... vote, it would have been strictly New York and California.
Maybe it would have been New York and California. Some time ago.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, you know, it's funny because, you know, they used to say there was a, you know, being an assumed Maina now, you know, there was always that phrase, as Maine goes, so goes the Union.
Yeah.
And boy, that phrase has been around longer than the Electoral College has. And I mean, you know, Maine, where I live, has a population the size of Newark.
How many electoral votes do you guys have?
Oh, actually, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
New Hampshire has
No. You know what? I've been getting so caught up in this whole redistricting thing and all this other stuff over here. And the voter ID thing over here is a horribly hot button issue. I mentioned on a couple of the online services with Facebook, Google Plus, etc., that I got a flyer in the mail from Representative Sieber over here in Naples. He's the 101st, 125th legislature, and you know, all the bills and stuff. He's on the Transportation Committee and the Standing Committee on several committees. Active guy. Mm-hmm, great guy, mm-hmm, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. And all the stuff. And he was one of the sponsors and or co-sponsors of several of the, or at least signatory to, mm-hmm, several of the voter ID legislations that have been running about in the last two legislatures anyway. And a couple of times they went down to defeat, but this time it got passed. And they are furious. Oh, there's going to be people's veto referenda and you know, all this other stuff. Because all we want you to do is register, besides the day of the election, and prove who you are. That's all we want you to do. Oh, you're going to disenfranchise people. What about people that don't have a driver's license? The state attorney general said, I will issue a state ID for free to anyone who walks in the door and says, I'm going to use it to secure my right to vote.
Sure. Sure.
So much for disenfranchised.
No, that's a bunch of baloney. It's just so they can, you know, say,
Well, it is. You know what? Voter ID bills are disenfranchising, though. Because they disenfranchise probably two-thirds of the electors in the Democrat Party.
Yeah, because they're dead?
They're either dead or they're not supposed to be voting.
Exactly. There you go.
So we're disenfranchising half of their voters. Mm-hmm. And that's why the big hoo-ha. It has nothing to do with disenfranchising the old, disenfranchising the young.
It has nothing to do with that. Yeah.
Because face it, I don't care who you are. If you're a young guy and you're in college or you're in the military, everybody tells you exactly where to go to find the form to fill out to vote.
That's right.
So you ain't disenfranchising anybody there.
No. Nope.
All right. And the old, you know. Again, we do have some very rural areas. I get that. I do. But everybody goes to town sooner or later.
That's right.
You know, and, you know, I don't understand what the big deal is. No, not for nothing. I mean, I live in Maine, and when I go over to vote, I guess I'm well enough known that the nice little lady behind book that you signed, register. Mm-hmm. Knows who I am, and she goes, "Oh, hi," you know, and she turns it. She goes right to the page and turns around.
In New Hampshire, you're supposed to go up to the table. You're supposed to announce your name and your address, okay? And I go up, and the people know me, and I start saying, you know, "Hi, Anne Miranda," give them my address, and they go, "Okay, yeah, right, fine, yeah, we know who you are." And
the thing. By the time I say my name and address, you've seen my name, mm-hmm, you know. By the time I say my name and address, they already got the book turned around.
Yeah.
So you know, but the thing is, when I was in New Jersey, mm-hmm, I had to prove who I was.
That's right. Yep.
And I said, Maine has the same population as Newark. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not a question of having too few people.
That's right.
Or too many people, whichever side of the equation you're on. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I think that people must need to be made aware, and I think we're in a catbird seat for this.
Yeah.
I think people need to be made aware, not only that these things are important, but why.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think that's it. But we've touched on some of these issues in the past. As I said, when on Valentine's Day, when the President of the United States signed into law a law that will put 30,000 drone, quote-unquote, eye-in-the-sky drones over our own airspace.
Yeah.
With the National Defense Plan, where he can turn the military loose on the people of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And people will argue with me day in and day out about the Second Amendment on the meaning of militia.
Oh, God, here we go. Yeah.
Let me explain something to you, boys and girls. The meaning of militia is just in case the federal government gets an idea like this.
Mm-hmm. Because if you read the Federalist Papers...
I have.
Yes, well, that's the meaning of the Second Amendment was to prevent the government from intruding into your life and taking over and, you know, taking away all your rights and, you know, so on
the
and so forth.
Idea of the Second Amendment had nothing to do with a guy named Pierre from France. It had nothing to do with a guy named John from England. It had nothing to do with a guy named Carlos of Spain. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with any of those people. It had to do with a guy named George in Washington, D.C., USA.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was an anti-tyranny legislation.
That's right.
And that's what it was for. And here we go. You want to know why the Second Amendment is important? Because the President of the United States has just essentially declared war on his citizenry.
Yeah. So that does that mean that we can then, according to the Second Amendment, take pot shots at these things and shoot them out of the sky?
I don't know. I don't know.
I meant that seriously. I'm not meaning it sarcastically.
I don't know. Because you know what? I don't think it would be a Second Amendment issue so much as a Fourth Amendment issue.
Okay. But that we use the Second Amendment to protect ourselves against the tyranny of the government.
The Second Amendment was designed to protect the other, at the time, the other 14. Now it got boiled down to 10. I get that. But it was designed to protect the other 10. So, it was designed to protect the first more than anything else. But the idea being, I don't know if it's a Second Amendment issue as much as a Fourth, but in response to that logic, you know what? If you have the idea in your head that, yes, that lens is pointed at you,
yep,
at that moment, probably you could probably
make a good case for it. Yeah.
Well, you know, you and I couldn't, but
no,
I bet you Ron Kuby could. but not that he would, because his mommy was a commie too. But the idea of whether or not it would be lawful, yeah, I believe a case could be made for that.
Yeah.
If it was not pointed at you, or a member of your family, household, etc.,
mm-hmm,
your land, your estate, because that's how that kind of stuff is phrased.
Mm-hmm.
If it was not pointed at you and you did that, then as far as I'm concerned, the best they could get you on is vandalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But criminal mischief or something, 30 days or $30,
mm-hmm.
But as far as that's concerned, look at the, at this point, we'll worry about that. They've got till the end of the decade to put 30,000 drones into the air above us at anything from 500 to 50,000 feet.
Yeah, well, that's why we got to get rid of this president, so we can get rid of a lot of his crap.
Here's the other part of that angle. People are complaining, oh, we've got to knock down, the amount of money we're spending on defense. You have any idea what these drones cost?
I know. They're very expensive.
They're $1 billion a piece.
Yeah, they're very expensive.
Well, I don't know if they're a billion. But they're a lot. I'll tell you what, they're more than I have in my my change jar in the bedroom.
Yep.
If you could get 3 for the amount of money in my change jar, hey, have at it, but you can't. And so we're going to take all this money. The money we don't have to do things like, secure the borders.
Mm-hmm.
That money. But we've got it to put 30,000 drones above the citizenry of the United States of America. You can't convince me. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you... You know what? Mitt Romney could walk in this room right now. Hey, Lou. President Obama could walk in this room right now. Lou, can we talk for a minute? Ronald Reagan could not walk in, if he did, he'd probably smell like he needed a shower, but He could not walk in his room. Nope, there's no person, living or dead, that you could name that could walk in this room right now and say to me, look, Lou, you've got it wrong. I don't know. I think that was a Google thing.
Oh, okay. I'm like...
Yes, boys and girls, we're using Google this time instead of Skype.
Yeah, it could mean that somebody may disappear. Sometimes that happens.
Okay, well, I just got a screen message that said, "Are you still there? Click yes," and I did. So,
oh, that's maybe not that's good.
Okay. Well, it does go to sleep.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes, anyway, there's no person you can name, living or dead, that could walk in here and say to me, "Lou, you're wrong."
Yeah.
This is a good idea, an idea whose time has come, and this is why, that I'd buy it.
No, no.
There's just no...
Yeah,
you
I know.
Cannot,
I agree.
You couldn't prove to me on pain of death and hell thereafter that there's a good, sound, logical, cogent reason for there to be 30,000 drone spy aircraft... That's given, wait, stipulating the fact that they are indeed spy aircraft, not armed aircraft, because I got news for you.
That's next.
One of those that is flying over my land at all, and I mean anywhere at all, over my land, that's armed, will go down in the woods across the street.
Mm-hmm.
I'm warning you, I will shoot it down. And by the way, yes, I can. So, you know, but I'm a damn...
Lou?
I think we lost him.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Lou!
That happens every once in a while.
Lou!
Well, you're at 125, by the way.
125 what?
That's how long you've been podcasting.
Oh, no! I guess we better keep signing off now, huh?
Yeah,
I should sign off. We lost Lou. But thank you, everybody, for listening. We will be back next week again. And just let me say again, thank you to all our military that are serving us throughout the world, whether they're stateside or in many places. And for all those people that are in Afghanistan, and there's still some in Iraq, please stay safe. God bless all of you, and God bless America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.